Isaiah 11. I had the privilege of serving in Sri Lanka. I was there for, we were 12 years as missionaries. 10 of it was in Sri Lanka. 2 of it was raising support to get there. And what a wonderful opportunity. What a wonderful ministry. Today there's Shankar and Gobi and Kana, 3 nationals that are ordained. And Buddhika, Dissanayaka, he was not ordained when we left after 10 years, but he's now since been ordained. But there's 4 men and their wives that are carrying on those churches that were started. And I mention that because I lived there and I saw a government. You know what the government of Sri Lanka is? A Democratic Socialist Republic of Sri Lanka. What does that mean? I don't know. You figure it out. And America is trying to figure out what it wants to be. And if we're not careful, we're going to be something very different than what we have been. But Democratic Socialist Republic of Sri Lanka. And I mention this because I sat under the rule of another nation. I saw what a dictator looked like. Our family had times, 3 different times where our house was being shook by bombs that were being dropped out of airplanes near our house. And the kids, we would hunker down into a concrete room as a shelter until that passed over. 26 years of civil war in Sri Lanka left 100,000 people dead. I can't tell you how many times we heard AK-47 gunfire right there from our house or from our office or from the church. And it was curfew put down because they had to make sure they had killed all the terrorists, captured all the terrorists, and we just had to hunker down and wait to go home that night. America's a special place. It's not like this everywhere in the world. Now, I'd like to look at the text this morning because I'm a little disappointed. My hope is not in the United States, but I'm a little disappointed with a country that should know better, because Christians should know better. When our current president led us into a treaty with Iran, what difference does that make? Well, we are maybe the most self-pronounced force for good on the earth. Self-proclaimed force for good. And when you've got the United States allying itself with a well-known sponsor of terrorism like Iran, if one of the best governments on earth, I believe the best government on earth because I've lived other places, can make an alliance with one of the worst governments on the earth, take it as a sign. One world governance is a little bit closer. Now, I'm leading into our message in Isaiah 11. You see, the scripture prophesies there's a day and time that Israel is going to stand alone. The U.S. will not back her up at that point. And Russia and Iran are mentioned in the Bible, Gog and Magog and Persia, that's their names. They're mentioned as being in a strategic military alliance. They come against Israel, along with Sudan, northern Ethiopia, Libya, and Turkey, and they come to annihilate Israel. All right, that's all in our Bibles. For the first time in recorded history, Iran and Russia have a strategic alliance that has not taken place until our lifetime. That's Bible prophecy fulfilled, folks. That excites my soul. You see, the title of the message here is God is going to reign. And when He reigns, you know, what we need is not a one world governance under the Antichrist. What we need is a one world governance under Christ. And when Christ reigns, evil will be subdued. And that's the exciting thing. How many of you today hunger and thirst just a little bit for righteousness? Once in a while you want to do what's right. And once in a while you want to see what's right, get the victory. Well, let me tell you what. Don't get vengeful and don't get bitter and don't get a nasty spirit, because you're not going to have righteousness reigning yet. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. He is saving it for the kingdom age, friend. And He will mete it out because He's the one just judge. But I want you to know, when Christ reigns, evil's going to be subdued. And I'm looking forward to His reign. Look, did you know that God's ultimate plan on this earth is to bring the world back under a theocracy? Think about it. Adam and Eve, as He originally made the Garden of Eden, what did the Father in body form, He came down, or God came down in an appearance of a body form, or some kind of appearance of form, and He walked with Adam and Eve, did He not? He was in their presence. It was a theocracy. He was in charge, and they were willfully His subjects. Until all that got messed up. Dear friend, it's going back to that. That's what the millennial reign is all about. The world coming back under a theocracy where He rules and reigns. One more thing by way of introduction. If we're stretching it just a little this morning, the reason I'm preaching this particular message, as a believer since the age of 7, okay, as a surrendered slave of the Lord Jesus Christ, that would have been age 18 and on. But as a believer since age 7, I've heard all about the church age. I've heard all about the rapture. I've heard all about the tribulation. I've heard all about eternity. A new heaven and a new earth. Heaven and the eternal state is anything but sitting around dormantly on clouds with harps. That ain't it, folks. There's a new heaven and a new earth, and I believe we will not be limited by space. We will move throughout the galaxies. God is omnipresent, and we may be a billion light years away in what He recreated, and we will be right in His presence and praising and adoring and exalting His name in eternity like we don't even have the capacity to right now. It'll be a time of exploration. It'll be time that we are learning. We will be morally complete, but we will be always learning in that eternal state, I believe. But I've heard little to motivate me through the decades as I sat and listened to different preachers. I've heard little that motivated me about Christ's reign on the earth. And yet we all believe He's going to have a literal 1,000-year reign. We do believe that, right? But I've heard little that motivated me about that. Not enough focus on it. So this morning, I want to give you some thoughts. And I know my time, there's zero interest in me covering everything on that handout you have today. Okay? Zero interest. That's 3 different messages. I'm going to hit the highlights, and if your appetite gets wet, you go for it. Okay? You look those scriptures up. And I have found fresh fuel for the current service I'm called upon to do, keeping the millennial reign, before I ever get to heaven, before I ever get to eternity, I should say, before I ever get to the eternal state. I'm going to be a 1,000-year reign with King Jesus in the millennium. That means something, friend. Have you ever wanted to see this earth, things on this planet done right? Hang on, it's coming. It's not for you and I to fight for now. It's for the King to bring when He comes. So let's get with it. How can we know believers will reign with Christ in His kingdom? Don't have time to cover that. So you can look those up. I'm just going to make the assumption that we're largely in agreement here, that the Old Testament saints are going to be in glorified bodies ruling and reigning with Christ for 1,000 years. The church that is raptured up is going to be in their glorified bodies brought back to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. I believe those things. Now let's jump in. Isaiah chapter 11. Let's look at this a little bit this morning. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Notice the kind of leader, world leader, in this messianic chapter. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding and counsel and might and the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Oh my goodness, only if today's world leaders had those qualities in their leadership. Notice his Spirit under Roman numeral 1. Don't have time to say any more about that. Let's go to Roman numeral 2. In verse number 3, notice his adjudication. This is how he makes decisions. King Jesus doesn't make decisions the way you and I make. Thank goodness he doesn't make decisions the way President Obama or George Bush makes decisions. Look at verse 3. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he, this is talking about the Messiah, King Jesus, that's going to rule on the earth. He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. In other words, it's going to be more going on than just eyesight and ears. He has a way of making judicial decisions that goes far beyond your and my abilities. Dear friend, how many times have you been in a situation where you saw something with your own eyes? You heard a report with your own ears. You made a decision. And then 1 year later, you had seen many more things in the course of that year. You had heard many more pieces of information. And you wish you made that decision differently. Well, friends, you see, the leader the world needs doesn't make decisions based just on their eyes and ears. There is a spiritual rightness and a spiritual sense in which they make decisions. Now, all we can pray, God will give us a leader that has a spiritual pulse today. They won't be flawless, but King Jesus is going to be flawless. Notice his adjudication. And then notice it says that for the first time in verse 4, it says something about meek people. But with righteousness, King Jesus shall judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. Guess what? If you are meek today, during the church age, if you're going to be meek and lay down your life and serve other people, you know what meekness gets you today? If you're meek today, you're going to know what the bottom of a shoe looks like. You are going to be walked on. You're going to be taken advantage. You're going to be hurt. But there is a day of equity coming, it says, where King Jesus says, wait a minute, I'm leveling the playing field here. And the meek, the Bible says the meek shall what? Inherit the earth. And when are they going to do that? In the kingdom. This is big. This is what we're living now for. I believe the Christian service you do today translates into differentiated levels of ruling and reigning in the millennial kingdom. In eternity, I don't believe all those differences are carried forward. There's no more tears, there's no more pain, there's no more death, there's none of that in eternity. But a 1,000-year reign is determined by your 70 years now. Dear friend, that's not the sole motivation for serving. Love is. But I want to tell you what, we need to get our mind wrapped around 1,000 years of being able to be with King Jesus, doing it the right way. What are you going through right now? Forget about it. It's not that big. 1,000 years with the King. And it's going to be done right. We got something to look forward to. And I've overlooked this area so often in my theology. That's why I bring it out to you this morning. So we looked at his adjudication. And let's look at his authority, though. This blesses my heart. Because I get a little bit ticked when I don't see righteousness prevail today. and I have to constantly watch my spirit. You remember James and John in the book of John? And they were walking along, and the Samaritans didn't want to let Jesus spend the night in their town. And what did James and John? They said, you know, here they are, they're preaching in the morning, and in the afternoon they're coming into this little town, and they said, Jesus, they don't want you to sleep here. Why don't we bring fire down from heaven and toast these people? Yeah. And Jesus said to them, what did he say? You do not know what spirit you're of. And we Christians better be careful. This is truly a day of grace. And the Lord is not ruling with a rod of iron today. But if you understand the kingdom is coming, and he will rule with a rod of iron, and you're going to be there if you're saved, you can get over some of the disappointment today. I pray this will get into our heart. Look at his authority in verse 4. He shall, what does it say? What does it say? He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Now this is talking about his authority, Roman numeral 2, the second blank there. Now I want to read another passage about this because this is amazing to me. In Zechariah 14, I'll read it to you. I can't wait for you. Zechariah 14, verse 16. It shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem. Remember, Jerusalem's going to be attacked. And all these nations are coming. Okay, not everybody on the earth is killed in that battle right there. It is the armies that are killed. The nations are back home. It says, everyone that's left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up year to year to worship the king. Now, only the saved enter the kingdom. We'll talk about that in a minute. But it says all the nations still exist. And they go up year to year to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whosoever, during the millennial reign, whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth of Jerusalem to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. So during the millennial kingdom, part of the rule of the rod is if nations don't submit to Christ, he withholds rain. Very different from the way it is today. He sends a rain on what? The just and the unjust. But when King Jesus is present, he must do it different. And then he says, if the family of Egypt go not up and come not up, and they have no rain, so the first thing he gives them is no rain, he said, then there'll be a plague. Wow. God is going to exalt righteousness in the earth. Those that hunger and thirst are going to be filled, and they're going to inherit the earth. And those that resist the king, only the saved enter the kingdom. But 1,000 years of reproduction brings a lot of lost people to be saved. Okay? And it's amazing. What does that tell you? Why should we be discouraged when we see the world doing so crazy? Going so hard away from Christ, and we're pleading for someone to get saved, and they're going so hard away from Christ. Why should we be discouraged? Think about it. King Jesus is on the earth. He is the embodiment of all the Godhead, and all the beauty of the Creator is there, and there are still groups of people that won't come and worship Him. He can't win them all, and you won't either. So let's be obedient and humble and just adore the King and keep going after the ones that God puts in our path. So we notice His authority. You can read about His apparel there in chapter 11, back to Isaiah chapter 11. But now let me get down to my main theme this morning. Notice Isaiah 11. This is all about the millennial reign of Christ. When verse 6, 7, and 8 talks about the animals, the very nature of the animals has changed. I'm not going to read those verses. I'll look at verse 9 though. They shall not hurt nor destroy. Talking about the animals, they're not going to hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth, what does it say? Read it with me, will you? For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. What you don't know will hurt you. There's proof right there. You know what is hurting this world today? Is the earth is not full of the knowledge of the Lord like the waters cover the sea. That's what's wrong with this world today. And friend, why are you here at Appalachian? I bet it's because you want to impact the earth being a little more full of the knowledge of the Lord. Don't lose that goal. That's godly. That's godly. You better fight for that in your heart. There's a lot of things that are going to compete with that. Make sure you marry the right person. Would you do that? If you don't date right, you're not going to marry right. But I'm going to tell you right now, you won't last in ministry 10 years if your spouse isn't equally passionate for the Lord. Better marry right. Let's get back to the text, though. The earth is going to be full of the knowledge of the Lord. Look at verse 10. And in that day, during that millennial kingdom, there shall be a root of Jesse, that's Jesus, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. He'll be a sign or a symbol or a banner for the people, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, and to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. So his throne room, there where he's ruling from in Jerusalem, is going to be glorious, but it says the Gentiles, the nations are going to be seeking him. Now walk with me for a minute. This is phenomenal. This is phenomenal. Before Israel was even a nation, God called a man out of Ur. His name was Abram. He said, Abram, if you'll obey me and you'll follow me, I'm going to make an unconditional covenant with you. But you're going to have to at least step out. And he said, in you, Abram, all the families of the earth will be blessed. All the people groups, the tribes, all the nations will be blessed. God had nations on his mind during the patriarchal period. Then God took Abraham's obedience. He, of course, sovereignly knew how that was going to work out, and he brought Israel about. In Isaiah chapter 49, God says, Israel, I have ordained you to be a light to who? The Gentiles, the nations. God never lost his focus. In the patriarchal period, he said, I'm going after nations. I'm reaching nations. During Israel's history, he said, Israel, you have been set aside for a purpose. I'm going to use you to reach nations. Israel said, hey, we're not so interested in that. Jonah's a good example of what Israel was like. Okay? And what did God do with Israel? He busted them up. He fragmented them. He sent them to the far corners of the earth. And there they set up these things called synagogues. And in these synagogues, Old Testament scriptures were read. And Gentiles were being exposed to Old Testament teaching. So when the Messiah would come along, they would have some foundation to understand substitutionary atonement. Do you know what I find out? That you, as a believer, can cooperate with God's sovereign plan willingly or unwillingly, but he's going on with it. We need to get on board. Because he used Israel in spite of herself. So God didn't take his eye off the nations through Abraham. He didn't take his eye off the nations even when Israel rebelled. You know what? God hadn't taken his eye off the nations today. Matthew chapter 28, he says, go and preach the gospel to all people. So God hadn't taken his eye off the nations today, but it doesn't stop there. This is where we stop. Revelations. We don't have time to turn there. But Revelations chapter 7 and verse number 4, it says, during the tribulation period, a 7-year period on this earth, there's 144,000 Jewish witnesses that are sent. What does the scripture say? It says they're sent specifically to the four corners of the earth. During the tribulation, God is sending out missionaries. It actually says a few verses after the 144,000 Jews go out, it says in Revelation 7, verse number 9, it says that there is a great multitude which no man could number from every kindred, every tribe, every tongue. They were martyred from all the nations of the earth. Even during the tribulation, God is going after the nations. What are you going after? But it doesn't stop there. This blows my mind. Surely after the tribulation, it's all over. People coming to accept Christ is finished, right? No, it's not. And you can go with me if you would turn. Well, if you can't find the book of Zechariah quickly, I'll read it to you. Zechariah chapter 8. This is an awesome passage. Zechariah chapter 8. I'd like to show you verse 22. While you're turning there, the weight of the nations is on God's heart. Friend, when King David ruled, it's estimated by conservative scholars there were 150 million people on the planet during King David's rule. Then when Christ walked the earth, it's estimated there were 300 million on the planet. Now, from the time Christ walked the earth to 1600, that's a long period, but not a whole lot of population growth, plagues, and war. In 1600, we know the earth population was around 500 million. From 1600, just 200 years later, 1800, this planet reached the 1 billion mark. All the time, God's got His eye on the nations. His eye on the nations. His eye on the nations. He's never taken His eye off the nations. Where are our churches that we attend? Are we focusing on what God's focused on? In 2025, we're told Earth's population will be about 8 billion. Almost 8 billion. Zechariah chapter 8, look at verse 22. I want you to see that God still got His eye on the nations. He's still working in drawing people to Himself. Now, the glorified saved, they're morally set, and their allegiance to Christ can't waver. That's part of being glorified body. But the nations of the earth, they entered. They were saved, they entered as saved people, but the children of all of those that have been reproducing for 1,000 years, God is working the gospel into their hearts. It's on His mind, on His heart. He never forgets getting people into relationship with Him. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 22, here's what it says. And many people and strong, what's that next word? Nations shall come and seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus said the Lord of hosts, in those days, during the millennium, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all the languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that, what? Is a Jew, saying, we will go with you. We have heard that God is with you. Hey, in other words, in the millennium, there's 10 lost people over here in this nation, and one of those Jewish Christians that's ruling and reigning with Christ, you know, they're going to latch on him and say, would you take us to meet King Jesus? We need to get saved. We need to meet Him. We need to be around Him. Hey, if God has always thought this, from Abraham to the millennium, this is His plan. Don't you doubt what your call is. I mean, come on. This is what it's all about. Let's pray. Father, we know the time that now it's high time to awake out of sleep. Lord, before this message started to right now, we understand a little bit better that the one world governance is getting closer, the Antichrist which precedes the true Christ. Now is the time to wake up And you called this time right now. You said the night is far spent. This age that we're in is the night. Why would we try to call it the day? Why would we try to say it's wonderful? You said it's the night. The daytime is when you come. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. We better cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Teach us to walk properly, Lord Jesus. Life is about service. Amen.